sing the first and second verses of For All the Saints, hymn number 103. How many folks know this hymn? Oh, one. Okay, well,
two.
We'll adventure through together. And you, yes?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the First Unitarian Church of Alton. My name is Mary Johnson, and here we walk together through the many transitions we face in life. Here we gather and share our beginnings, our endings, and the journey in between. Here we speak of birth, death, marriage, separation, pain, joy, laughter, and heartbreak. Here we practice being human in all our facets, so that we may live well in the world. We are Unitarian Universalists. I offer my welcome to you, and in particular to those who are first-time visitors. And place the card in the offering plate, or give it to an usher, and we'll send you our church newsletter for the next 3 months to let you know about the programs and activities going on here at church. We are glad you are here, and hope to see you again on future Sundays. We do have a nursery for infants and young children out this door and then to the left. And if you're uncertain as to where it is, ask an usher to show you the way. At the front of our sanctuary, we have a spirit chair, which includes activities for all ages, even Jerry. And you are invited to go to the spirit chair anytime during the service to take an activity back to your seat. And today is our monthly potluck lunch. And so you're all invited to stay after the service and share in this meal. We welcome everyone into this home of comfort, spirit, justice, and hope. I have at least one announcement. A working group formed under the auspices of the building committee hopes to replace the dusty, worn, and deteriorating paper cranes hanging in the worker room windows with New Balances. These will either be ready-made, or fabric will be purchased and sewn by a few people who have already volunteered to do it. We estimate it will take about $25 per window for a total of around $200. And financial support from the congregation will be needed for the window treatment to be updated. We would like the balances to be in place by Christmas, so are asking for contributions throughout November. And if you make a contribution, cash or check made out to the church, please put it in the collection plate in an envelope. There are some over there. And mark the envelope balances so the money in this project won't get mixed up with the regular collection. And the people organizing this are Dee, Pat, Nancy, and me.
Pat.
And Mary. Thank you.
everybody. Happy Halloween. How many of you went trick-or-treating yesterday or the day before? I hear there's 2 days of that going on around here. We didn't have that in Indiana. I'm a little jealous. How many of you went to a parade, rain or shine? Yes. I hear that those are quite the affair, both in Alton and Edwardsville. I hope everybody had fun. We have a couple of announcements today. One is that today, after church, rather than our typical religious education program, we will be having our monthly potluck, which is the first Sunday of every month, as well as an intergenerational activity. As many of you are aware, there are 7 churches in the St. Louis metro area that have experienced fires for various reasons. And in speaking with one of my colleagues, she mentioned that most of the churches, while they've received some support with things like Emerson UU donated some chairs, about 50 chairs to one of the churches, and those kinds of things, they haven't really received words of support or encouragement. And so today, we will gather and create cards and posters of blessings and encouragement to each of the 7 congregations as a community as our service project today. So I hope you will join us in doing that and helping those congregations know that they're not alone, and that they have our thoughts and our blessings and our prayers. I hope you noticed there are 2 beautiful bright yellow banners on the building this morning. Yes. I'm actually surprised the Crone Willises aren't here, but if you see Kelly and Kelvin, thank them for hanging it. Be sure to thank Juliet for buying it and taking it and getting it ordered and all of that. And also to Eric Johnson, who is the one who donated the banner that says Standing on the Side of Love. So make sure that you offer your gratitude to them for their good work. And yes, yay. I just spoke with Casey about the Mission Vision writing team. They are doing their good work. We should expect a draft sometime in the next week or so, I would guess. And we will get that out to the community for your feedback and input. We're hoping to vote on that in January. And I just want to thank everybody who participated in that for all your hard work. I know announcements are running long, but I do want to mention a few things happening next week. First off, on the 13th in the evening at 7 o'clock, we will be having our race and film series. This month's movie is Crash, and that'll be right here in this sanctuary. I encourage you to come. How many of you are from Edwardsville? So as it turns out, a group of Edwardsville folks from the First Unitarian Church of St. Louis have decided to have a gathering of Edwardsville UUs. And that gathering is also, it happens to be that same night, Friday, at one of the members of First St. Louis's houses. And so that invitation is available to those of you who are from Edwardsville. If you'd like to attend, let me know, and I'll get you more information on where to go and all of that. And then on the 14th, I believe, and I don't see Robin. Robin? Hi. On the 14th, we will be having a chili dinner, yes?
Yep. Social event. Come have fun, relax, reconnect, come be.
Just fun and hang out.
Bring games, cards, just whatever.
If you play Ticket to Ride.
Or
euchre. I miss playing euchre, and I'm around Midwesterners. Yay. So, yes. So, yes, come on that date for that event. And with that, that concludes this morning's announcements. We begin this morning's service with a prelude.
Our call to worship words were written by Leslie Takashi and are found in the new UUA publication, Lifting Our Voices. Please join in the call to worship words by saying the words, "We return again," after each line. We return again and again to the season of forgiveness.
We return again.
And each time we come bearing gifts.
We return again.
A hatred to extinguish.
We return again.
A hope that has bloated and distorted.
We return again.
A glancing word that has wounded.
We return again.
Each time we walk the road toward forgiveness,
we return again.
We mutter that we have been here before.
We return again.
When will we remember that forgiveness is not so much an act as an attitude?
We return again.
Not so much a duty as a love we give ourselves as part of the ever unfolding new beginning.
We return again. As Rowan lights our chalice this morning, I invite you to join me in the words and hand motions for our chalice lighting. We light this chalice, symbol of Unitarian Universalism. May it remind us of the divine spark in all of creation, the power of love to heal what is broken, and to be grateful for life's blessings each day. If you have a costume on today, I invite you to come to the front of the sanctuary as we sing our opening hymn, May Nothing Evil. Yes, anybody who has anything that's sort of a costume or like a costume or whatever, we shall sing.
Shoulder pads.
'80s, woohoo! Bowler hat. And what's Potso dressed as? She's a homo sapien hipster. Okay. All right, M103. Need a volunteer who would help me open our wonder box. Isabel always volunteers. Rowan, come on up. You haven't done it, I think. One of these days, I promise you'll get to do it again. Yes. So I wonder what's in our wonder box. Do we have any guesses?
Skeleton.
Halloween mask.
A milkshake.
Hopefully not a murderous milkshake. What, honey?
Bunny.
Yeah, no, the bunny was a one-time thing. For those of you who don't know, the first time we opened the Wonder Box, it had a live rabbit in it. So. No chickens. I wouldn't have my fingers in here, huh?
Black cat.
Black cat. My cat would kill me.
Well, how
Something that isn't alive. I wonder. All right, you want to open it and let's see what's in here? Sand, in fact. In fact, that's Tucson sand. Thank you very much for helping.
So Tucson sand.
And a stone. Not a murdering stone. Just a stone. Thank you for your help. So I have a story to tell you today. It's about two friends named Musa and Naguib. I need a volunteer who holds the stone. Anybody want to come up? Isabella, of course. I need one more volunteer. Come on up to hold the sand. And to practice this story for Musa and Naguib, I need you to make a wind sound. What does wind sound like? Okay, good. Huh? Just blow out. Yeah, but if you really want it to sound like wind, you have to make some noise with it, right? Yeah, okay. So Musa and Naguib were two very good friends, and they were traveling, and they come across this river. Now, at this time in Persia, coming across a river was an important place. It was an oasis because there wasn't a lot of water along the way. And camels weren't, you know, too friendly, you know. So you've been traveling on camelback, sloughing through the sand and the stone and all of the wind. And so they finally get to a place where they can have some water and sit in a little bit of shade and everything's chill. And there they had a discussion that turned into an argument. How many of you have had a discussion that's turned into an argument, right? And then it turned into anger and rage until finally Musa slapped Naguib. Not cool, right? Musa was stunned and Naguib was angry at being slapped. He wanted to slap Musa back. Stabbing. Slap Musa back. But he said, I cannot be too mad at my friend because I could have done the same thing. We are alike. And I care about him and I don't want to fight with him anymore. So he went and he grabbed a stone or a stick and he went to the sand. He went to the sand and he drew, I want to slap Musa. But over time, the wind came by and blew it away. So it was gone. So they continued traveling. They made it to their location in Persia, and they just, you know, got their business done, and they started coming back. And as they were coming back and crossing this river that they had come to before, the rains had occurred the night before, and it came rushing, and it knocked Musa into the water. Naguib into the water. And so Musa jumped in and grabbed Naguib and brought him to the shore. And so then Naguib grabbed a stone and took a strong piece of stick and hammer and chiseled into it, my best friend is Musa. Now, Musa had been watching all of this, little perplexed, you know, with the sand and now with the stone. And he said, okay, Naguib, why did you first write in sand and now you're writing in stone? What is this about? And Naguib said, when you slapped me, I was angry that I needed to forgive you. And so I wrote that in the sand so that it would be wiped away and through my forgiveness would not weigh on my heart. How many of you had that experience? You hold all that anger and frustration or, you know, upset at that person and you let it go and it's just like, oh, so much better, like the sand flowing away. He said, but when you saved my life, that was carved in stone and will never be forgotten because that was what was important. And so they went on being friends for the rest of their days. Thank you. You want to put the stone there and the sand there? Thank you. How many of you have heard that story before? It's a nice classic Muslim tale that uses nature to help us think about those things that are most deeply human. Now, this month, our theme is forgiveness. And I know about all you all, but I occasionally find forgiveness to be one of the most difficult things I wrestle with. How many of you have been hit by your sibling and didn't want to forgive them? Well, in my case, my cousins, but same thing. I'm an only child. Yeah, my cousins certainly have done that. Or how many times has somebody said something that's hurtful and you're just like, oh, yes. I had an experience on Friday. I had a root canal and I got an email that really bugged me and I just reacted. There's no kindness present because I was in pain and not fully present to myself, right? We have to be compassionate to forgive. And we also have to recognize sometimes forgiveness isn't because the other person is so wrong, but because we are struggling so much, right? We have to be able to know ourselves in order to forgive. There's a wonderful documentary called The Power of Forgiveness, and it shares the stories of people who have every reason not to forgive. Mothers of sons who died in 9/11 in the towers. Muslims who have been slaughtered by Jewish people in Libya. Different kinds of groups of people, and yet in every community there are folks who choose forgiveness and compassion. Because that is the deepest form of love. How many of you think love is easy? Is love easy? No, it's messy, it's difficult, it's rewarding, it is worth it. It is worth us putting our lives on the line to live out love. Yes? And forgiveness is the core of that. It allows us to let go. Now, as we go through this month, we're going to be talking about all kinds of forgiveness, but today I want us to think about forgiveness of ourselves. Because that, I think, for a lot of people, is the hardest thing. And you cannot forgive others until you can forgive yourself. How many of you are perfect? Any perfect people in here, Mary? No? Okay. No perfect people. All right, good. None of us are perfect. Which means we're going to do things that we regret. How many of you have regrets? I know I have quite a few. I have some regrets that have nagged me for 20 years, and I still struggle with forgiveness. Because here's the thing, forgiveness is not an act that you do, and then you wipe it off your hands and you're done. Forgiveness is not just writing it in the sand and letting the wind go. Think about that sand that Naguib wrote in. It had to take the energy to recognize that there was something that needed forgiving. Sometimes that's the hardest thing to see. We get so locked up in shame and anger and resentment that we can't see that forgiveness is the path out. We first have to be able to write it in the sand. And then we have to let the process of healing occur. That wind didn't blow that out of the sand right away, right? Took a little while, right? Imagine blowing. Go ahead and blow. Takes a little while for even the wind to occur and then blow that sand down. We have to be open to the idea that forgiveness is a process. It occurs slowly over time. Last weekend I had the privilege, thanks to Ron Glossop preaching, to be at a training for people who advocate for victims and complainants of clergy misconduct. And clergy, you know, not just in the Catholic Church, even in Unitarian Universalism, in all denominations, there's clergy who break the covenant. They steal money, they engage in sexual misconduct, they abuse their power, all kinds of things that can happen. In the course of that, we were listening to victims who had survived or even thrived from violence or from clergy misconduct, and they all said the forgiveness part was a process that they had to work on. And many of them were telling their stories 20 years later, and it took 10 years for them to really get to a place of forgiveness. Forgiveness is a process. It's not easy. And that's as true for self-forgiveness as it is for forgiveness of others. So today, I invite you to think about What do you need to forgive yourself for? What is something that you've done that you're not proud of? A way that you've hurt someone else, or even hurt yourself, that you need to forgive yourself for? Because that first step is naming. In the second part of our service, we're going to talk about costumes and how costumes can help us work through or even hinder forgiveness of ourselves and others. And I'll need some of the folks in costumes to be ready, because we'll invite you to come up then. Each week we take some time to recognize the joys and sorrows, struggles, and celebrations living within this community by placing stones in the healing waters of all here gathered. This water contains a bit of the water that is gathered at our annual water communion from the many places that are so significant to us. And so I invite you at this time to come forward and either place a stone in the bowl or take a stone and put it in the bowl in recognition of a celebration or sorrow, struggle or celebration in your life, and this ritual of joys and sorrows.
Comfort me.
Comfort me. We place a stone in the bowl for the churches that have experienced violence and burning of their sacred homes. We place a stone in the bowl for those sorrows and joys, concerns and celebrations lying in the silent sanctuary of our hearts. And we place a stone in the water for all those who cannot be with us today. I invite you now into a time of a guided meditation. In this meditation, I want you to take a deep breath in and out. And so that you breathe more deeply, breathe in and out so your neighbor can hear you. In and out. And one more time. In and out. I want you to be aware of what you hear. Think about what you hear. In meditation, silence is not about silence in the world, but about silence and within oneself. When you hear noises, make them a part of your silence. Take notice of how your pinky toe is feeling. In the bottom of your feet, in your kneecaps, in your hips, in your fingers, in the tip of your nose. And as you sit in meditation, I invite you to imagine that you're walking through a forest. What smells do you smell in your forest? What kind of animals are there? Is it sunny or is it cloudy? Is it warm or cold or raining or snowing? Or maybe it's all of those things. It's your forest. And as you walk along the path, you're going to meet someone who knows what you need to be forgiven for. And I invite you to ask that person within the silence of your own mind for forgiveness and compassion. You don't need to accept forgiveness, but as this person forgives you, notice how you feel. Thank this person for being present to you. Continue walking along your path. Take notice of the flowers along the way, and the trees, and the plants. As you come to a clearing in the forest, you'll see a log that's perfect for sitting on. Have a seat there. I want you to imagine one person that you would like to forgive. Invite them in your imagination to sit on that log with you and offer them forgiveness. They don't need to accept it. Just notice how you feel when you offer. Thank them for their presence and continue down your path. As you walk along your path, you come to a place that is important to you. It is your place. I invite you to imagine being in this place. Maybe you go for a swim, or maybe you just sit on the warm grass. Maybe you go flying. But be in this space for a few minutes of silence. And as you're in this space, imagine what kind of things you need to receive and to give forgiveness. As we return into this space, I invite you to take a slow, deep breath in and out. now so your neighbor can hear you in. And out. And one more time in. And out. May we bless one another and the world with our grace and with our love. May it be so. Please join in our meditation hymn, Spirit of Life.
Each week, we participate in a spiritual practice of giving to this community a portion of the financial resources that we receive. We do this because we are committed to a free and responsible church. We do this so we may practice as a community that which we so often practice individually. You are invited to give abundantly, be it a quarter or $100. As an act of solidarity with this most amazing community. This morning's offering will be gratefully received. May it be joyfully given.
Actually, hold on. And just so everyone knows, this is not the collection for the churches. We will do that at the end of the service. This is just for this church. To the work of the church, which is weaving a tapestry of love we call community, we dedicate ourselves and these our offerings. Oh, we're singing, that's right. I added a hymn. Please rise as your spirits and bodies allow and join in singing hymn number 1053, How Could Anyone?
My reading this morning is by Reinhold Niebuhr, entitled, We Must Be Saved. Nothing worth doing is completed in our lifetime. Therefore, we are saved by hope. Nothing true or beautiful or good makes complete sense in any immediate context of history. Therefore, we are saved by faith. Nothing we do, however virtuous, can be accomplished alone. Therefore, we are saved by love. No virtuous act is quite as virtuous from the standpoint of our friend or foe as from our own. Therefore, we are saved by the final form of love, which is forgiveness.
Y'all like my hair? Any other days of the year where I could get away with wearing this and not get comments? Comic-Con. Hey, this is not cosplay. You know how I know? It falls apart. You could wear it any day, and what's the rest of that sentence? People would laugh at me. That's right. How many of you remember last year I wore this mask? Anybody remember that? We talked about masks.
Arr!
One of the things that I... That's awesome. We have evil children. Woo. One of the things I said about masks is that it covers our faces, right? And that one of the things that we can do instead is to wear a costume. You know, that costumes can tell us a little bit about the roles that we play. You know, so I put on a witch's hat. You can still see my face. You can still see if I'm mad or sad, right? I get to be authentic with you while wearing a role. But the thing to know about costumes is that sometimes it can make us think that we're invincible. How many of you are wearing a superhero outfit? And if you are, would you come up? I need some superheroes. Do you have any superheroes? Or sheroes? Or zeros? I'm not particular. Nice. Is this a Power Ranger? No, what are you? Iron Man. Yeah, you can see how up to date I am. I haven't seen Iron Man. Makes me a bad nerd, I know. Very cool. Are you invincible? No? Why not? Because it's just an outfit, right? Thank you. You can go back to your family. Who else has a costume on? Come on up. If any of you can't see, this says, famous for steak murders. Steak, S-T-A-K-E, and shake. Only on Halloween would it be appropriate to make fun of murder. Thank you. Oh, and don't forget, cherry on top. We can put on costumes and they allow us to imagine and play with parts of ourselves that we may not always be familiar with. Joseph Campbell would like to say that the archetypes that exist within them, there are certain characteristics, and those characteristics allow for the fulfillment of an identity as someone who is invincible. Any Star Wars fans? I know we had a stormtrooper around here somewhere. Where's our stormtrooper? Stormtroopers in the nursery, right? But I can put on a Darth Vader mask and be a certain kind of hero archetype, right? And then I can put on a Princess Leia buns and be a whole different hero archetype. But each of them tells me something a little bit different about who I am. How many of you have seen me wear this at various rituals and things? I don't wear it often. But it's one of my costumes as a minister. It's called a robe. A lot of my colleagues wear black ones. I wear this one. It's Episcopal, but I wear it because it was a gift from a parishioner of mine in Cleveland who died. So not only does it have the significance of ministry to me, but it has the significance of legacy to to me. What other kinds of costumes do we see in society? Everyday job people, like what? Suit, lab coat.
Uniforms,
police, fire, exactly. What else?
Respectability.
Interesting. Garbage men, do they get respectability for wearing their uniforms?
They should,
that's exactly right. They should. People who wear stethoscopes. The thing is that we have to be careful with the costumes we wear too. How many of you wear some form of costume for your job, whether it's a suit or certain kind of outfit that says, I'm at work now, as opposed to what you wear at home? Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Does it remind you that you're in a different kind of role? You're a little more professional. How many of you go to school and have to wear a uniform? Any uniforms? Yeah. You might. Oh, it might be coming. Yeah. Which tells students that they're in a different kind of place. They're at school as compared to home or other places they might be. The risk with costumes that we wear is that we can start to feel like we're invincible wearing them. We can even wear those costumes within ourselves, right? So I'm capable of doing things in ministry that I could never do with my family. I can listen to you patiently talk about something that's driving you crazy. If my aunt tried to do it, I wouldn't be able to handle it, right? We can do things in our jobs. We can do things at school that we might not do anywhere else. Now, how many of you, when you're wearing that costume, sometimes have done something that you're not proud of, because you forgot the difference between the costume, the role that you are wearing, and who you are as a person? I think most everybody has had that experience at some point in their lives. And if you haven't, I promise you, you will. Because we're human, and that's what happens. I think that's one of the big things. I look at our national media. People who are in politics can't make mistakes, right? Because if they do, we devalue them greatly. And we don't have a way for people to recover from the mistakes that they make. And that means that we can't hold them accountable for the roles that they're in. Because once they've made the mistake, they're done, and we're done with them. There's no path back. Means that it's hard to talk about the roles. One of the biggest pitfalls for ministers, and it's something you should be thinking about as you're looking for that new settled minister, is that they aren't able to talk about how really difficult ministry is. You remember I was talking about, I was at that retreat training on clergy misconduct. And what often happens for clergy who engage in misconduct is they start to believe that their role is invincible. I think that happens to some of our police officers too. They start to think that their role is invincible. And when they're in their moments of realizing they're not, they overreact because they've gotten so involved in the role that they've forgotten who they are as a person. We all have had moments like that in our lives. So I invite you, as we're talking about forgiveness this month, to think about the various costumes you wear within your soul, within your professional life, within the world, and how that makes it a little more difficult at times to be really human, to be a whole person, to bring those costumes, those roles, into all we are as people. Whole beings, not little pieces all over the place. Yeah? Because sure, it's fine to, be a steak and shake on Halloween. But we don't want to be engaging in violence the rest of the days of the year. We don't want to be hurtful to one another the rest of the year. And we really don't want to believe in superheroes. We want to believe in everyday and perfect people, and that we can find a way back into relationship with each other. So may you forgive yourself, and may you be forgiving in this day and in all the days to come. May it be so. I invite you to please rise as your spirits and bodies allow. Our hymn of the month this month is called Break Not the Circle. It was written by Fred Kahn in the 1960s, and it is a song of forgiveness and hope. I invite you to face across the chandelier towards your neighbors. Before we offer our benediction, I want to let you know that next Sunday will be our annual memorial service. We will have an altar in memory of those who have passed on in the past year or who are significant in our lives. I invite you to bring a picture or a memento for the altar. I have some leftover mementos from last year. I will place them on the altar as well, and maybe they'll find their homes. So just remember to bring that next Sunday. And with that, I invite you to take a look around the room, this most sacred and important and holy community. Through these people, our world is transformed. Through these people, we are forgiven and we forgive. Through the people gathered here, we find joy and wonderment. We celebrate and we say yes to life. May you know you're not alone. May you know that you do not need redemption by crawling through the dust with fingers bleeding, but by embracing each other in love and hope and hearing words of wisdom. May you be those words lived in the world. Blessed be. Amen. Our worship is ended. Let our service begin.